I could see the centurion sitting up there wondering, why are you doing this to this man? He doesn't look that powerful to me. He doesn't look like he's trying to overthrow the government. He doesn't look like somebody who wants to be king. Furthermore, since you Jews hate us Romans, why would you persecute somebody who would be helping you? So the centurion is standing back and he's looking and he's observing the situation. Still not convinced that this man is who everybody says that he is. I can see in his mind that he's saying, I bet you this man won't last 3 days. I bet you he won't last 2 days. I bet you he won't last 2 hours in my hands. His curiosity was beginning to rise as he was saying, who is this man? Amen. Reluctantly, Pontius Pilate gave the decision to crucify him. So now when he gives the decision to crucify him, he really turns them loose to his men. They beat him with the cat of nine tails. Amen? They pounce on him like vultures, mocking and feign homage to him. They strip him and they put him in a scarlet robe and they smash a crown of thorns on his head. John 19, 2 and 3 says, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, hail, King of the Jews. And they struck him with their hands. Amen. The centurion had to take his men off of him and say, listen, this is not the place for him to die. He has to die on the cross. For if he had let them die, that means he would have been punished and he would have been killed. So they were skilled enough to take the person to the point of death without killing him. I know we all might have been in some situations where we thought we were at the point of death. As a man, I can only think of childbirth that way. But I'm not a woman, but I saw my wife give birth to four. And I thought I would have been at the point of death. So imagine being at the point of death and still have to suffer. So Jesus continued to have to suffer. It was bad enough to be in Judea, but it was like hell on a hot afternoon on a rocky hill supervising the death of pickpockets, rabble rousers. Half the crowd taunted, half cried. The soldiers griped. The priests boasted. It was a thankless job in a strange land. This man was used, this centurion, he was used to people coming up on this hill. And he was used to them cursing him out, calling him all kind of names. He was used to people being on the cross, on a cross, and hearing them breathe their last breath, and it affected him none. But there was something about this man that when he put him on the cross, he didn't curse him out. He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. There was something about looking at this man that made him swallow and his stomach feel empty. Subconsciously, he was waiting and prepared for the first words of bitterness. He never heard it. But as the hours wore on, the centurion found himself looking more and more at the cross as people began to mock. They begin to say, who are you that you're going to destroy the temple in 3 days and build it and save yourself? Come down off of that cross if you are the Son of God. You've saved others, they said, but you can't save yourself. If you are the King of Israel, then come down right now from the cross and we will believe in you. Jesus said nothing. Jesus did not respond to them. This centurion's sitting back now, and he's watching the crowd. He's watching everything that's going on. There's something about the number three. Amen? The number three. He did not know what this Nazarene silence meant, but he was there for 3 hours. After 3 hours, there was 3 hours of darkness. Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Jesus predicted, he said, I will be in the belly of the well, just like Jonah, for 3 days. In 3 days, Jonah came out. On the third day, today, Resurrection Sunday, Christ arose. They said, how can you build the temple in 3 days? But he said he would rebuild the temple in 3 days. But there's another thing about three. There's three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is something about the number three that was being manifested during this time. People were perplexed by this darkness. This darkness happened in the middle of the day. It wasn't an eclipse. An eclipse happens, and then it's over. For 3 hours, the world was dark. And not just dark. It was extensive darkness. It was penetrating darkness. It was supernatural darkness. The centurion didn't know what to do with the black sky in the mid-afternoon. Nobody could explain it. Nobody tried. 1 minute the sun was out, the next minute it was dark. 1 minute there was heat, the next minute there was a breeze. Even the priests and the leaders, all the mockers, they were silent. What was this darkness? This darkness that surrounded the cross illustrates the depth of the suffering of soul that Jesus felt as he was regarded as sin, even though he was sinless. For 3 hours, he went through agony as sin. Jesus was bearing the sin of the world. He was the sinless substitute dying in place of sinners. That's to say, no matter what it is that you go through, no matter what sin you do, in that 3 hours, Jesus felt it. Jesus was being punished for it. Jesus was being told, you want to take on the sins of the world, then take it. For 3 hours in that darkness. I imagine that they couldn't see his face in that darkness. I wonder how distorted his face would have been from the pain of you and I as parents when our children or our spouses or somebody that we know, our siblings, do something, they do a sin, our face can turn. Can you imagine how his face was contorted and turned for all the sins before him, during his time, and after his time? You can't take this day lightly. You can't take a crucifixion lightly. You cannot take what he did on the cross lightly. Sometimes we can't take what we do lightly. We do things and then all of a sudden we're ready to jump off a building or commit suicide because we can't stand ourselves. But Jesus stood it for you. He stood it for you. So no matter what it is that you're going through, don't let the enemy permeate your mind with some self-destruction. I don't care if it's alcohol, drugs. You're worth more than what the enemy will allow you to think that you are. You don't have to go on the street. You don't have to be homeless. All. Jesus took it all. On that cross, he said, give me some more. Give me more. I'll take it. Our words have power. His words have power. He wanted to take on all the sins of all the earth. Of everyone. And he took it. Suddenly, as Jesus was on the cross, the head stopped bobbing. He yanked himself erect and he opened his eyes and he could see a flash of light, a white, and he said, a roar silenced the silence. He said, it is finished. It wasn't a yell. It wasn't a scream. The Bible said it was a roar. A lion's roar. It was a roar that came that the centurion never heard, but he knew it wasn't a roar from this earth. And he stood up on the rock, and as he starts going to him, he can't stand, he can't walk, and he keeps falling down and getting up, and he keeps falling down. And what the Lord is saying, you got to bow down to me. You can't walk to me. You're not worthy to walk to me. You got to bow down. And as he got closer, he could tell that Jesus is staring up to in the sky. And there was something in his eyes that the centurion can't see, but he kept falling, trying to get over there. And then he looked at Jesus. And I could see Jesus looking at him. And he's saying, this man is starting to feel my pain. He's starting to get a little soft here. He's starting to understand that I am dying. I am king, and I'm dying for the people, for the sins of this world. But he can't take his hands down because they're nailed. He can't take his feet down to touch them because they're nailed. But he can look at him. And when he looked at him, the centurion realized that he was looking into the eyes of God. And if there ever was a change, that man changed right there. Those eyes was the same eyes that looked at the woman in the well and could see through all of the things that she's done. Those eyes were the same eyes that looked down at Lazarus and said, Lazarus, get up. Something about the eyes of Jesus when he's looking on you. He don't have to say nothing. He don't have to touch you. But he looks at you from wherever you are. Some of us think we're getting away with all these things that we do. But those eyes are watching you. Those eyes are telling you something. Those eyes are calling you back home. Something about those eyes. He saw the eyes of God. As the centurion is looking, all of a sudden the emotions are starting to flow with him. And he says, this man, he's no carpenter. This man, he ain't normal. He ain't a peasant. He looks around. All the rocks that have fallen down. He looks around and all of a sudden this light, when it was dark and it was light and it was dark, he looks around and people are starting to cry. He looks around and he looks at the soldiers that is going to war with, that he has rallied to war against the enemy. He looks at them and they're stunned. They have nothing to say. What manner of man is this? The centurion must have thought. Who is this person? He certainly is not that little weak person I saw over there. He certainly is not that. This must be the man of the power. This must be the man of the miracles. This must be the man that can take over Rome if he chooses to do it. This must be the man who, if he chooses to be king on this earth, this is he. He listened. He continued to listen. And he looked. And then he saw Jesus say, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. And then he says, surely, this man was the Son of God. I want to make a point of that. The Romans believed in many gods. He didn't say this man was a son of a god. He said, this man is the Son of God. Sometimes we don't take things unless we have an eyewitness account. For those of you that are here that say, I don't know whether Jesus died on the cross or not. I don't know all the things that they write in the Bible. Here's an eyewitness account of somebody's heart, somebody whose heart was harder than yours, and confessed the deity of Christ, that this man is the Son of God. This man went on to express a belief in Jesus' innocence. Amen. He became acknowledging that Jesus was the Son of God. So when he started out this day as an ordinary day, it became an extraordinary day, an extraordinary event in his life. In one moment, his life was changed forever. I say that this morning, and I bring it to you this morning because in a moment, your life can change forever. You waiting for that big bankroll to come in? You don't have to wait for that. You waiting for a miracle cure? You don't have to wait for that. The scripture says in that moment, the man's life was changed forever. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, when he rose the third day, he let you know that he conquered death. Your life can change forever. You don't have to go through that no more. Jesus Christ has the power to change an individual. I believe that it was his suddenness and his guilt for the centurion that made him change. He says he never heard Jesus preach. Sometimes we got to hear somebody, but I don't believe anything until I hear them. He never heard Jesus preach. He never saw him heal. He never followed Jesus in the crowd. He never witnessed still the wind. He only witnessed the way that he died. But that was all it took to cause this weather-worn soldier to take that giant leap in faith. At the cross, Jesus changed this hardened man. Most of us think of the thief that died on the cross. Oh, he saved him right before he died. He saved him because he asked him to. That man was very blessed because during his last hours, he pleaded on the cross to Jesus. And Jesus said, "You'll be with me in paradise." But then on the other hand, the centurion, the story is showing that Jesus changed him in an instant. Because this man don't know when his life is going to end. He don't know if he's going to have another chance. You know, on that next, this ordinary day, he might go to war and get killed. But he had an opportunity to accept Christ. So what can we learn from this encounter? We can learn that desertion, suffering, trials and tribulation, pain, rejection, torture, and mocking. We've heard that a bunch of times as citizens of the kingdom. It happened to Jesus, it's going to happen to you. We must never treat every day or any day just like it's just another day. It's not just another day. I know some people came to church because it's Easter Sunday and it's just another Easter Resurrection Sunday. I say to you today, it is not just another Resurrection Sunday. Amen. We have to expect the unexpected. We never know when God is going to show up in our lives. That man didn't know that God was going to show up in his life. On just that ordinary day, God showed up in his life. Amen. Many of us could share experiences of the unexpected encounters that we have with Jesus. And we need to be ready not only to experience his presence, but to respond to his plan and his will for our lives. We are sitting in here today. God has a plan and a will for your life. You got to be ready to accept it. At any moment, we're going to have an experience. And when we have that experience, more than likely, it's an invitation. The centurion, he accepted the invitation. The thief on the cross, he accepted the invitation. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us knows what's going to happen as we leave this building. But I say to you today on this Resurrection Sunday, your life can change. Whatever your problems are, you can leave it right here on the altar. Maybe this morning Jesus is tugging at your heart. Maybe he's revealing himself to you so that you would invite him into your life. Maybe he's telling you that you need to give him a try and give him part of your life, every part of your life. Maybe he's brought you this very moment, but you didn't expect that. You didn't expect that because it was an ordinary day. You wasn't ready for it because it was an ordinary day. But Jesus is inviting you to come closer and grow closer as his child. He's already paid the admission with his blood. So if you're here today, let us stand.